Oh. Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory. Oh, he is worthy of all praise that man can give him. Oh, he who rose this heart of mine. Oh, he who calmed the troubled sea. Offers peace to you and me.
Praise our Savior for his love divine.
Oh, he is worthy
of all praise that man can give him.
Oh,
he who rules this world can rule this heart of mine.
He who holds the troubled sea
offers peace to you and me.
Oh, praise our Savior
for his love divine.
Oh, he is worthy
of all praise that man can give him. He who rules this world can rule this heart of mine.
He who holds the troubled sea.
Oh,
feels good in here today. You know, we singing about God ruling our hearts and having this world, having our world in the palm of his hands. You know, I was telling Brother Weininger that largely is up to me. That depending on how much I yield to the Lord, you know, is how much he going to be, as much as my world is going to be in the palm of his hands. And also how much he's going to be ruling in my heart. I can have a lot to say about that. And so that's what we come here to get our minds girded up and to allow God to touch us in such a way that we will be willing vessels to allow God to rule our hearts. And you know, we have to be willing. Otherwise, you know, that's what God, you go back to the Old Testament, the New, where God used workers in his kingdom to build his temple and everything. He was looking for willing vessels. People that was willing. The willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. So, you know, that's what God wants us to be. And I know that, you know, if you're not, you know, you won't let God rule your heart. You won't let God be, you know, have your world. You know, that's so easy to sing. You know, having saying, God, you know, my world is in the palm of his hand. I can just sing that. But, you know, it's really not so easy to do because, you know, that's just like, you know, saying, God, whatever. You know, I'll give up. I surrender to you. And you take control of my life. And that's easy to say. But it's not easy to do. So it's a process that we learn. This morning in Bible study, Brother Smith was talking about the thief on the cross and you know, how it's believed in religion and a lot of places where he went straight to heaven. And when I was thinking that, you know, it's not a lot of shortcuts, you know. With, you know, in life, you can find shortcuts. You can bypass things. We was in a line at an amusement park and being senior citizens as we are, they took us to the head of the line. You know, we weren't quite exactly in the head, but we were a lot further than where we was at behind. But anyway, in this world, you can bypass some things and you can have some shortcuts. But I don't believe God gonna permit us to have a lot of shortcuts in his kingdom. And I believe he's gonna want us all to measure up and all to our lives to meet his criteria. The things that he requiring of us, I believe God is going to have us to go through these things. I believe we're going to have to measure up. My wife, she graduated from high school from the 11th grade. She got a double promotion. But, you know, that's, like I said, that's here in this world. That's good. And I went 13 years, so that's not good. They say I like my teacher so well, I stayed in the first grade. I don't remember that, but anyway. That's what they said. You know, my sisters, they said, well, you just stayed in the first grade 2 years. But anyway, I don't remember all that. But anyway, but in God's kingdom, we're going to have to measure up. We're going to have to endure the things that God has for us. And we're going to have to go through the process that God has for us. We're going to have to meet all of these things. And it's not grievous altogether, because if we're willing and if we love the things of God, and sometimes it may require you have to require taste for things of God, you know, begin to like God's kingdom better than the world. You know, if you begin to see that this life is better, if you can see that this is the best life, and begin to like these things better than the things that's going on in the world. Because the world, sometimes you just get disgusted, you know, with the world, the way it's going. So when you begin to look at God's kingdom and what he is allowing us to do and giving us and that we're a part of, you know, and it really thrills me when I get, you know, we look at things and changes even at Arkansas, you know, changes here recently that really, you know, it's kind of disgusting. But anyway, this is the world we live in, and it's Like someone said, it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. But the things of God can be better for us. You know, we can allow them to get better. We can increase, you know, our faith. We can increase our hope in God and begin to get more of Him. We sang another song that said about more of Him and less of me. So when you begin to let God's Spirit and His Word and all the things that He has for us increase in our life, you know, we begin to let that grow. And it has to grow. I tell you, it's grown on me. This life has really, I've let it's happened to me. I appreciate it so much more than I did. I can see my progress. And I'm thankful today that God has allowed me. You know, I like I say, I've had bumps in the road and everything else, but you know, when you mingle with people in this world and see, you know, where you could have been, and you see that you may, what I look at it is like people. I went to a class reunion, like, I don't know, was it 40 years? But anyway, just that I took this path. And, you know, it was a friend of mine. We was like less than 10, probably 7, 8 years old. I considered him my best friend. And I saw him at this reunion. He lived in Kansas City. But anyway, all I could see was he took another path in life than what I took. You know, the things that, you know, he's retired like I am, but we took two different paths. He went this way, well, he went that way, and I went this way. And I just, you know, glad to see him again, but we have two different lives. You know, we're not living the same life. And we don't have that much in common. But with God's people, you know, I found another family that I have things in common with. That we can talk about things that you know, out here in this world, your conversation can be limited to what you can talk about. But with God's people, you have a broad scope of things that you can talk about and what you can deal with. We, Brother Mike and Brother Jerry York, we all went to the Jacksonville meeting, and we stayed with a family down there, and I really did enjoy staying with those people, and they was dedicated people to God. And, you know, I just, we really had good fellowship. And that's where it is with God's people, you know, the fellowship. You can have things to talk about, you know, things that you, your same goal, you know, that you're striving for. And that makes a big difference when you walk around people and it's sad that you can't, you know, it's sad when you can't talk about religion. Some people you can't even talk about religion because you clash with them. You know, you hate to just say, well, I don't believe that. You know, I don't even, you know, entertain those kind of things. So anyway, it's good to be here today. Good to be in the house of God. And we're blessed to have Brother and Sister Staples with us today from Kansas City. Olathe, they're close to Kansas City. Is that a suburb? Kansas City. It's a suburb. Olathe. I've been there. So anyway, I was considering it. All right. And Sister Terry. Hadn't seen her in a long time, but anyway, it's good to have her today. Sister Linda had already told us, Sister Terry, you'd be here today, so we're glad you're here. And anybody else? Anyway, God is so good to us to allow us to be gathered here today and to be able to worship Him, lift Him up. Do we need to do a prayer and all those? You know, we need to pray. But Sister Crow called yesterday and said that they weren't feeling too good. And she said if they could come today, she'd call back. So she didn't call back. So I assume they're just not feeling good. Brother Scott, who's that? Amy? We pray for Amy today. She went home sick. Sister Smith? Oh, Lord. Remember Sister Smith? And Sister Bonnie Smith, who was your mom. And your mom. Yes. Sister Smith growing up. So remember her. Sister Linda. Stan? Okay. All right. Remember Stan today. Sister Durham. Yes. Okay. That's good. Some good news there. Praise the Lord. It's Brother Don Fields, right? Remember. Keep praying for him, though. Sister Abraham. All right. Yeah. All right. Sister Abraham's family, Jonathan especially. My sister did go home. She was in the hospital last Wednesday night. We was requesting prayer for her, and she went home Thursday the next day. And she thought she had heart trouble, but it was, I think it's acid reflux. Similar, the symptoms are similar to heart trouble. But anyway, she may not be totally out of the woods, but she's home. Anyway, Sister Tamika, Sister Rochelle's daughter Tamika. Remember her. Pray for her. All right, Sister Debbie. Unspoken, all right. Sister Hall. Yeah. Oh, out of time. Brother, Sister McGowan. Now. All right. Brother and Sister McGowan out of town, and they couldn't be here. The Curtis, remember them? Sister Holly. Keep praying about it. All right, Sister Holly trying to get a different job. Pray for her. All right. Yes, sir. Yeah, they. My wife talked to me. Well, they left a message saying that they're feeling bad. Didn't think they'd be here today. So anyway, the work in the Dominican Republic. Remember them, the needs over there. God will touch them, you know, and help us to be concerned about them. You know, we want to be concerned about the work, missionary work that God's doing, that He's involved with people that's accepting this message. A body of Christ, and they're part of us, you know, they're part of us. And I appreciate it, you know, having gone over there, I really appreciate those brethren and the fellowship, good spirit they have. All right. Any other requests? Brother Keith, all right. Unspoken request, all right. Remember that need. Okay. Ernest Williams, his family, okay? Remember, Ernest Williams' family passed away. All right. The ushers will come up. We'll do the offering. And let's take these needs. Let's all stand and take these needs to the Lord and ask that God will help each one of them. You know, remember these conditions. Sister Smith, Lord, help her. Sister Bonnie Smith, Lord, help her. Brother and Sister Crow, Lord, we ask that you help them today. Lord, give them strength, Lord. Touch them. Lord, help each need, each request, spoken and unspoken, Lord. We pray that you touch them. Those that are traveling on the road, Lord, keep your hand up on them. Oh, blessed be your holy name, O God. Lord, help us to lift you up, O God. Jesus, 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 Lord, we know it's not just by might, it's by power, Lord, but by your spirit. Lord, help us to lift you up, Lord. Touch your people. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. Glory, 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 glory. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hold in. Okay. Praise God. Thank you, God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your name, Lord. Praise your holy name, O God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise God.
Not just blood family. This is my family. This is my life. This is what, when God touched me, I was born into this family. And I haven't left. And I don't plan on leaving. I enjoyed that song. He's got my whole world in the palm of his hand. I'm not there yet. You know, I don't wanna come up here and look like I'm something that I'm not. But Jesus said that I do always those things that please the Father. I want to be able to be like that. He's my example. He's the one that I want to be like. I've been trying to learn more about him. Really, why? You know, you can begin in 1 John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we can see where he came from and what he left so that he could come here and let us be a part. You know, that we can be sons of God. That we can have a chance to be like him. That's why I come. That's what has been planted in my heart. I love church. Now, I was not one that liked church. I didn't like anything about religion. Didn't know anything about it. But I've come to love what this means. What I have an opportunity to be like him. And so I'm glad. I'm always glad to be here and come. I don't want to take up a whole lot of time. I don't really have a whole lot to you know, I want to. If I have something from the Lord, I want to give it. But right now, I'm just kind of blank. And it's all right to be blank sometimes. You know, it's really, we have to learn how to hear him. If he's got something, then we need to be able and be willing to do that. But if he doesn't, You know, it's just as important to learn when to sit down, you know, as it is to stand up. So I am glad to be here. I'm going to be here for a couple more. I'll be here tonight. I'll be here Wednesday. So I'm not done. I may have something later on, but I appreciate the opportunity to be here today and be with my family. forgive me, Brother Tally. He's one of the first, when I come in, he's one of the first men I met. I think you came up to a meeting that we had, and if I'm not mistaken, you know how age will fog memories, you know? But I met him. He's still here. He's still here. He's still the same. You know, he's just gotten older, that's all. You know, maybe a little wiser, but I appreciate that. So I'm going to get out of the way here, but I do appreciate being here today.
That are here, and I always miss everyone that's not here, but I'm always thankful for those that are. I'd have a hard time if it's just me in here, and so I'm thankful for the people of God and this song Brother Stafis was referring to, that the Lord has us in the palm of his hand. We talked about that a little bit in Bible study this morning. I believe that's the scripture I referred to was in Isaiah. This is a prophecy of out of the mouth of Isaiah that prophesied the coming of the Lord, and even starts out with the prophet John the Baptist preparing the way of the Lord. Starts out, says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Oh, God put Israel through a lot of things to bring them to a place that he could bring Christ into the world, and really there was just a remnant that he was able to prepare. I'm sure there's just a remnant down here in the restored church that God will have ready, but they'll be a gateway. There'll be an open door that'll make way for others. Verse 3 says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That was John the Baptist that did that work. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. John came preaching that. Said every high thing will be made low, and he even said all the trees would be hewn down if they didn't bring forth fruit. and all the crooked places would be made straight, just showing that God was going to correct the Adamic nature that was in his children. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. We're preaching down here that there's going to be a restored church that'll be like that church, that the glory of God would be revealed, and all flesh should see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. My Lord, think about that. That whole world back there, and that wasn't really talking about the whole known, well, it did refer to the whole world that God was dealing with. All those that God was dealing with saw a manifestation of God through Jesus Christ and that ministry. Like that song we're singing, he's got my world in the palm of his hand. Well, his hand is his ministry. And before he can really get you fully in his hand, he's going to have to get his hand fixed. He's working on his hand today. He's trying to get a hand that can righteously judge rightfully, properly. God's doing that. He's working on a ministry right now that you can have safety in. You know, I can see, looking back, why God has brought us through all that he's brought us through. Even I've made the statement in the last few years, it really just been the last few years that I came to the understanding that the Catholic Church was something God did. That was, you know, God, it was a, you know, God works with whatever he's got to work with. And sometimes it's pretty rough. It's pretty rough shod. It's pretty limited. But God had to put some kind of structure to the fallen message of the early church. And so he did. He did structure it. Look, the heart of a king is in the hand of God. He lifts up kings and he tears them down. That was a beast system. It was a civil and a religious power. God was in control of that thing. And he saw, you know, he started out, he's like a potter. He started out with just a ball of clay. And just said, here's what I got to work with. And I'll just have to start forming it and working with it. And then in the Reformation, God brought all of these organizations out. And it's amazing how to protect the people. See, God let us go through a difficult time of a dictatorship, a ministry that was nothing but a dictatorship. Then God brought, he brought organizations in the restoration process, and he put a democratic government among them to protect the people from a dictatorship. But God really, in the end, God intends to have a ministry that's not dictators, but a theocratic government, a government where God's in control. And God has a ministry that will do just like Brother Stafford said, always do the things that please the Father. That people can finally be safe. Yeah, even in this body, there's been a lot of people hurt because of men. It's not because men tried or wanted to hurt them. It's because men were lacking. They were lacking the things of God and the understanding and the wisdom. And they made a lot of mistakes, and people have been victims of men's mistakes. God understands that. He even understands those. Just give him time. He'll get around. He'll make up the difference for you. He'll dig you wherever, out of wherever you are. Whether you're in the sea, or whether you're in hell, or in death. He'll get you out of there if you're his child. If you can be dug out, if you can be gotten out, God will get you out. He will make a way for you. I see that God, this is an enormous plan that God has, and he's a great God, and he's full of mercy and grace. That doesn't mean you won't suffer the things it's like Brother Stephens was mentioning, Brother Tally still here. Well, Brother Tally has escaped a lot of suffering by staying here. If he'd have got in and went out and got back in and out, there's a lot of scars and a lot of suffering and a lot of things. So it's better to stay in the boat than it is to, you can say, well, I'm a victim. Well, at some point you got to come to a place to say, well, I understand, in here it's easy to get offended. But the Bible said a soul offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Brother Begley, he used to teach that offended is off-ended. And he used to stand on his head behind the pulpit or get beside him. He'd stand on his head. I can't stand on my head today. I'm not going to do it, Brother John. Maybe you stand on your head for it. He passes too. Brother Begley used to stand on his head and said, he'd say, see, I'm off-ended. I'm off on the other end. I'm off-ended. That's, in other words, you're not balanced properly. And you can get offended in here, and you can let words and things. That's why it's important to learn how to let some things. I had a minister tell me one time. I called him. He's my elder. And I said, look, I'm offended. I didn't tell him just like that. But I was complaining to him. He said, Brother Smith, you're going to have to get to a place where you let things like that just be like a little bug on your shoulder. He said, just reach up and brush it off. He said, there's things you can't fix. And there's things people do that, well, it'll hurt you if you let it. But he said, you can't afford to do that. You can't afford to be offended because when you know what happens when you let somebody offend you? They bring you down on a level of retaliation and vengeance. And there's where you'll get in trouble. But you have to just turn loose of things like that. You have to let things that offend you, let them go. Or leaders, that's why the Bible teaches us how to act. To be careful in front of the king. Watch your foot. Watch your steps. Watch what you're doing. I've had several bosses in my lifetime on different jobs, and every one of them offended me. None of them had the wisdom to walk in a way before me that was just perfect, where I just said, this is a perfect boss. He does everything right. Even if you do right, you're not going to like it all, because you're not going to like everything that, but they didn't do everything right. Sometimes they talked to me mean. Sometimes they didn't give me any explanation. They just ran over me or whatever they did, it offended me. But I had to get to a place that I realized, look, they're the ones that's in authority, and I'm the one that's benefiting by having this job. That's how I feel in the kingdom of God. I don't feel like our ministry is 100% perfect yet, nor do they have all the wisdom that they ought to have, but they're the best God has. And God put them where they're at, and they may make some mistakes, but what good they are has been God's benefit for me. That's why they're here. They're for the saints of God, for the perfecting of the saints. They may not do everything exactly right, because I had another minister tell me one time, I was talking to him about the ministry and the work of the ministry, and he said, Brother Smith, he said, to be a leader, you just have to have your nose out front. You don't have to be way out where they can't see you. He said, quit trying to run so far ahead of the saints. He said, All you got to be is one rung on the ladder above them, and you know. And I was complaining to him too about the saints. And he said, "Look, if they didn't have problems, they wouldn't need you." He said, "You'd be without a job, son." He said, "Don't be complaining too much about them." He said, "That's why you got a job." So, God's working on a ministry to get us in a place. I don't claim to have done, in fact, I'll admit I haven't done everything right. But I want you saints to know I'm trying to learn how to get it right. And I know one thing, I'm a way lot easier to set under than I used to be. If you don't believe that, just ask some of the people who's been under me about 30 years. The kitchen used to be pretty hot. And I used to have a smaller crowd too, but you know, I've learned that this ain't up to me. Not altogether. We were talking about that this morning in Bible study. Maybe I'll read a little bit further and get a little bit more on my thought. Verse 6 here in Isaiah 40. I'm just going to stay in this chapter a little while. It said, "The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass." In other words, flesh is like grass. It can't stand too much heat. It can't stand too much judgment. You put the sun on the grass and don't give it any water for a length of time, it'll get dry and the grass will burn up. And that's how flesh is. Flesh can't stand the heat. I don't want to be grass. I don't want to be the flower of the field. I want to get beyond that. Somebody, said, the scripture said, "Milk and honey shall be his food all the days of his life." And somebody said, "The cows eat the grass, and they eat the clover and the flowers of the clover, and they turn that into milk." You know, and the milk becomes the Word of God. So this is a process. We got to go through a process to get what God is trying to nurture us with. We got to get beyond flesh. We got to get to where we've digested God's purpose in us being here and what He's working on, how He's trying to save us. And so He said, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God." This is a prophecy for the early church, that Jerusalem, the body of Jesus Christ, that natural city finally became a spiritual place, put together by the Spirit of God. He linked people's hearts together with truths of the Word of God, and Jerusalem became a city of God, a place you could go where the name of God, the authority and the power and the glory of God was. You could be saved in that. In the body of Christ in that early church. "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him and His work before Him." The hand is a strong hand. That's a ministry. And the arm is Jesus. Jesus is God's arm reaching down into the earth, and He has a hand, a ministry, to minister to the body. If your toe or your foot itches or your leg itches, your hand reaches down and scratches it. If anything in your body goes wrong, your hands will go to it right away. God's got a ministry that that he's giving a feeling for and burden for and a charge to take care of his body in the earth. And he said, verse 11, he'll feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, or his covenant. That's what the bosom is. And shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed out the mountains in scales and hills in a balance. There's where he's talking about, he's measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. Y'all've heard me talk on this before, but you won't get it even the third or fourth time somebody talks on it. You got to keep talking on it, and then there's always new people that need to hear it. I like to keep talking on it, so I think you surely like to keep hearing it. You know, I do know what it's like to have a preacher just preaches the same old thing all the time. You know, you brethren, we all got to learn that. Don't get up here and just tell stories over and over that you've told 100 times and bore the people with things that they already know what you're going to say. Reach down and get something new out of the pot every once in a while. Fix something, mix something in there that bless people. Something that'll be new for them to hang on to, get a hold of. We have to do that. We got to keep working. Every once in a while, I've told my wife before, even coming to church, I say, I ain't got a thing to say today. Brother Stephens, I know exactly what you mean when you get up here and say, I don't have nothing to say. Well, I don't care who you are, how much of the Bible you know. You get in places all the time where you feel like I can't think of a thing to say. Nothing, you know, just right then there's nothing that inspires you to talk. Sometimes I tell the Lord that I pick up my Bible at home. I don't care how much of it I read. It's nothing. I'm not getting anything that I feel like's inspiring me for a new message. You know, I'm always looking for a new message. Give me something new, Lord. Every once in a while, I've got one or two preachers, a couple, but one in particular that calls me pretty often and says, give me something new to preach. I said, why are you needing something new? He said, I can't think of anything. He said, give me something. What can I, give me something you got, something you've been working on lately. Well, there's nothing wrong with it. In fact, I think it takes a humility for a preacher to do that. To call another preacher and say, I need you to help me. This guy's a leading minister in the body that does it. Calls me fairly often. And then he'll take my message. I give him and preach it just like it's brand new, and he got it right fresh off the shelf. I heard brother, I don't care. It ain't mine anyway. I mean, there's very little that's original with me anyhow. So, you know, if you can help build the kingdom, well, help build it. Don't matter who gets the credit. Brother Brown told us one time in a meeting, he said, I love to come to these meetings and listen to you brothers and take notes and all these good messages y'all get to preach. He said, then I go home and preach it just like I just got it fresh off the shelf and give it to the people, and I get they bless me for it. They thank me for that good message that I got from y'all. Well, we all laughed, but he got the blessing. Anyway, I understand how that works. And that's, thank God for this strong hand of God that he's putting together. And finally, he's meeting out heaven with a span. He's measuring the waters. You're part of the waters. Waters are peoples, nations, and tongues. God got you out of the waters. And he's measuring you now. If you're in here, it's because God brought you in here. It's not because you decided to come. Maybe you did decide to come, but it's after God dealt with you to come. After he began to draw you. No man comes unto me, Jesus said, except my Father draw him. How many times you heard me say that? Well, I want you to know, you didn't just get here. You got here because God reached out He saw something in you that he could touch, something that he could save. You wouldn't be here if God didn't know that you're savable. And Brother Weiniger asked me today, he said, are we all in God's hand? I said, well, a lot of people jumped out of it. You get in God's hand, this is God's fivefold ministry, and he's measuring the water. And he's meeting out heaven in a span. Y'all have heard me show, I like to do it this way. A span is 3 palm widths. So that's 1, 2, 3. There, he's meeting out heaven in a span. It's 3/3. And the first third was in the New Testament church. God, he meted out a third of it. Look in, can you hold your place in Isaiah? I'm gonna preach, you know, like when you go, you know how you go fast forward and go. I ain't gonna go quite that fast, but I'm not gonna take a lot of time. But if you'll turn to Revelations 8 and the 7th this is the 7 trumpets of the book of Revelations. And in the 7th verse of Revelation 8, it says, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. They were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up, and all the grass was burned up. Jesus was John the Baptist was his forerunner, and Jesus was the first trumpet that sounded in the New Testament church. When that ministry started in that church back there, it judged. It took 45 years for Jesus' ministry to carry through the disciples and the ministry of that early church. But it said that a third part of the trees were burned up. God judged that world. There's 3 times, I want you to get this, there's 3 times that God brings eternal judgment into this world. One time was in the early church. That was 1/3. It don't mean just 1/3 of them, it means 1/3 of all. Everything back there was judged. All the trees back there burned up, but that was only 1/3 of what God's working on, because there's God's working on more than one world. He's working on the Jewish world that he brought a bride out of, the Gentile world that he's bringing a bride of, and then the 1,000-year millennial. That's another world that God's working on. There's 3/3 of this thing that God's working on. And so back there, a third part of the trees were burned up. God judged that world and all the grass. Jesus judged the flesh back there. He judged it in his life. He judged all flesh to be sinful, and he judged it and overcame it, and he pronounced judgment on the flesh. You can't go to heaven with flesh in your life. It's been judged. It's been burned up. God, Jesus, he burned up the flesh. And then the second angel sounded, and there were a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. And then he said, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. You remember when Jesus told his disciples, said, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you'd say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea. This second trumpet was the 12 apostles in the ministry of that early church back there. Jesus did a job, but they did a job that they cast the mountain of Judaism, religion of that day, into the sea. Nobody was influenced by it that were any of God's people. If you got born again back there, God gave you a revelation of the body of Christ, they took the influence of false religion that was in Judaism out of your mind and cast it back into the sea. It was the same thing as when the dragon got cast out of heaven. No more did he have any influence over anybody. Not that Jew, not that world of religion and their falsehood back there. They all lost the influence of that because they heard the words of God's truths that lifted them up and helped them to see what was right and what was wrong, what was true and what was false. And the sea, that you see that mountain was burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea. God judged the sea back there. He judged that whole world back there. All the trees, all of God's people were judged. Everybody in the ungodly world are sinners out in the ungodly world. God's people, there were plenty of them out there. And that religious system was without God. They were part of the world. They became part of the world. And God judged all of that. If you didn't get out of that, get in the body of Christ and get saved, you were judged. Eternal judgment hit you. And then all the creatures in the sea, a third part. That was just a third part. The same operation is going to happen down here. We're going to preach. The seventh trumpet's going to blow down here. And we're going to judge everything, all the trees, flesh, the sea, and everything in it. It's all going to meet God's judgment. But God's got to have God's not going to judge. That's one of the marvelous things about God, is he's not going to judge everything in eternal judgment until there is a righteous judgment seat of Christ. We're going through a measure of judgment. God's requiring right now, to him who much is given, much is required. God's gave us things and he's requiring them of us, but he's not requiring everything because he hasn't gave us everything yet. But when he gives us everything, it'll be required of us. We see this whole manifestation, the glory of God. That's why the message of the early church, the first part of that message is going to be fear God and give him glory. That's the first thing we're going to have to do, is we're going to have enough fear of God to live in a way that our lives are glorifying him and glorifying his purpose and what he's working on in us. And I'm like Brother Stephens. I'm trying to get all this in my life, but I know it's not all operating exactly right yet. And so I'm waiting for something. I know God's going to do something. Appreciate just services like today when that band song began to, the Spirit of God started coming in here. You could feel it. And these songs, Sister Bryant started in on that song, He's Got My World. You could feel God, he probably stuck that in your mind. Get up and sing that song. And it started blessing us, going right along. That Spirit of God started girding our minds up. He started blessing us and helping us. And I appreciate God for those things, that he's doing something and he's going to continue to do things, and more, greater and greater things of God is coming. And thank God I'm here, that I can receive the things of God. And then in verse 10 it said, and a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell on the third part of the rivers and on the fountains of waters. And the name of the star was Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many died of the waters because they were made bitter. That's what wormwood means. It means bitter. And falsehoods and false prophets begin to enter into the Word of God back there in the end of that early church, when it started falling away, and bitterness came in, things that hindered the Word of God, and there were many in the streams. See, the streams and the rivers, the river of God and the streams of God were polluted, and many people died and lost out because of falsehood and deceitfulness that came in back there. And So that took place back there, and I won't go on through the fourth angel. Well, I'll just go ahead with that, but I want to get back. I don't want to just stay on this, but I mainly was showing you how a third part, see, a third, the span. There's three hands. There's three times God's holding us in the palm of His hand. He judged that world back there with a ministry. He's judging this world now. We've got to take heed to the ministry we have, but, you know, there's all kinds of things happening. Brother Liniger, you know, he kind of had a little bit of a problem getting the brethren to understand what he was saying about having confidence in the ministry but only trust in God. But let me tell you something. When this church, when the church gets restored, you'll be able to trust the men of God that are the leading men of God. You'll be able to trust them. And you'll have enough discernment to know if one of them goes bad. There's a certain amount of judgment, a discernment for that now, but there's some people following some men that are dangerous. And so, God's working on this, and God knows. You know, did y'all know that there's men that God rolls up in a generation? He doesn't expect them to leave their position. He just knows it'll take something greater to change them than where they're at right now. Men, you know, you say, well, if you open your mind, you can change. You can't open your mind just so far. You don't have the ability to open your mind, but so far God will have to help you to get your mind open, to get new revelation. And God can take new minds and move on with them way easier than He can reprogram one. So sometimes He just has to roll men up in a generation, and they may come up. I asked Brother Liniger one time, I said, when you come up in the resurrection, I said, are you going to still teach? Are you going to teach us the things of God? He said, Brother Smith, he said, that'd be like Henry Ford resurrecting, trying to teach somebody how to make a Ford automobile. He said, when I resurrect, brother, I ain't going to be doing nothing but soaking up like a sponge what you brethren are going to be giving me, because it's going to be so much greater than what I had when I died that I ain't going to be teaching anybody anything. I'm just going to be receiving, finishing my work, what God has for me to finish up. So, I don't know. I just got an idea. He'll have to say something about it, though. Anyway, you can't hold this too good, too long. If you got a mouthpiece to speak, you got to say something. You got to tell it to somebody. Anyway, if you want me to say something, Brother Weiniger mentioned it. And verse 12 said, the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. This was the falling away, not only of the church, but this is when pagan Rome fell, and Constantine began to accept, and power began to be given to the papacy. When God removes a civil power, he turns the lights out. The sun withdraws its shining, and the moon and the stars, and a third part of it, see, that world became darkness when the church fell away and God judged. AD 70 came, Israel was judged and Rome was judged. And then he said, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. There are still three woes to take place. After the judgment of that world, there's three woes to take place that God was going to have to deal with. He would have to bring a certain judgment on what was going to be the next three trumpets that were going to blow. The fifth, which was Mohammedism, the sixth, which was the Reformation, and the seventh trumpet that was yet to sound. And there's going to be judgment in every one of them. Anyway, I won't go through them, but if you go back to Isaiah, I probably said most of what I was going to say about it, about in verse 12 that he measured out the waters in the hall. That's what got me to thinking about this. How? And then somebody, we were talking in the Bible study about how we're headed back into the garden. And I made the statement that we've never been in the garden yet, not in this Gentile world. The early church was in the garden. Brother Fisher mentioned, you know, that how that the priest went into the holy place. You know, they went in every morning, they lit the candlestick. All that was there was a human element there that God put in there, but that wasn't what he was trying to show. What he was trying to show was there's always light in the holy place. And that the bread in the holy place, there's a sevenfold candlestick. And even though I teach that that's God and Christ in a fivefold ministry, that's where you get light. I'm still not convinced of the brotherhood on that, all of them. Some of them starting to accept it, but I just don't know where you get light if you don't get it from God and Jesus and His ministry. If you don't get knowledge and understanding from them, God's knowledge and understanding, I don't know where else you can get it. But we're not going, even though I've got a gift. I'm one of those lights from the candlestick, but I didn't get it. I didn't go in the holy place and get it. I've got a high priest that went in there and got it for me. It's wrote down. God quickens it by His Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, and there's a light in there, and there's unleavened bread in there. And we're getting some of the truths from that unleavened bread that it actually, we're getting the principles of that unleavened bread that's placed in the laver. Knowledge, temperance, and patience. See, God gives you knowledge in here of the Word of God, and then He puts you through. Just the knowledge alone. You get knowledge, will take you through trials that will temper you. You take this Word of God out of here and try to live it, and it'll cross everything you meet up with in this world. Brother, you'll run in trouble in the morning at 8 o'clock when you punch in your job, or maybe when you hear your alarm go off and your wife says, "Get up and fix me a cup of coffee." Or she tells you to, I don't know, but anyway, somewhere your trial may start. What the Word of God you get in here, you'll have to learn how to live it, and you'll have to put it into practice. It'll have to be tempered. You'll have to hold on to it until you prove it that it's right. It's God's righteousness, and you'll live it. You have to live it. It has to be tempered in your life and become a part of you. And that teaches you patience. Knowledge, temperance, and patience is what you get in the labor. And it tempers, your life gets tempered in the things of God, and you learn how to wait on God. You learn patience. You learn how to be led by the Spirit. We don't all have that perfect yet, but we're learning. We're learning. You know, somebody asked today, said, pray for me that God will show me how to keep living a blessed life so that I can, God's will work in my life. Well, we all have to have that. We all have to have our lives in a condition where we've learned patience. We've learned how to wait on God. We've learned how to be led by God, to have God's will working in our lives. Sometimes it's not easy to know. Sometimes you just, walking by faith, you're just saying, "God, I'm hoping this is Your will." If I know it's not Your will, it's a red light to me. I ain't doing it. But if I'm not sure, it's a yellow light. I'm moving cautiously forward. But if a red light comes up, I'm stopping on this. Sometimes I do that. I tell people, counsel them. Sometimes people ask me, "What about this? What do you feel about it?" I said, "Well, I don't feel anything. God would be against it. So move forward cautiously. But if a red light comes up, you start getting red flags, you know, God can show you. He can give you red flags. If He gives you red flags, stop. Take that as a stop. But if the light goes green, move on." Hallelujah. You can get a green light from the Lord. I operate under yellow lights most of the time. Every once in a while I get a green one. Boy, I take off when it's green. That's the way I feel about it. Let me give y'all a little secret. When God's blessing you, don't hinder God's blessings with your natural fears. When you're going through a time you know God's blessings on you and you're going through your mountaintop experience, enjoy every bit of it. Just enjoy it. Just thank God for it. Enjoy it. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow is sufficient for the evil thereof. You know, I mean, don't keep looking. You know, this message, if you're not careful, you'll always be looking over your shoulder saying, these things are going too good and something bad's fixing to happen. They sound like y'all got what I'm saying. You're living where I'm talking. Quit looking over your shoulder. Just say, God, you're blessing me and I'm thankful and I'm going to enjoy it. Hallelujah. When it comes time for you to push me forward and tell me I've got to have a little more of you, I need a little more training, I need a little more correction or whatever you're moving me forward in, I'll take my blessing hat on, put on my trial hat and say, all right, let's get busy. Let's get on with the program. Hallelujah. So, anyway, the Jesus went into that holy place for us. No man ever entered into that place until Jesus entered after Adam. He went in that place. My God. He, in that place, was a set. He operated in there while he was here on the earth. He was operating out of the holy place. He was getting the seven spirits of God was operating in his life. He not only was getting light from God Almighty, but he was the Christ, the Son of God, that had the Spirit without measure. Then he was our apostle. Hallelujah. He was our shepherd and apostle of our faith. And he was our prophet and teacher and pastor and our evangelist. He done it all. He had all of that. And he operates. He's the God of the holy place. Jesus gave him that place. But he gives light to men. But look, there was a ministry back there that they got what Jesus had and they went in there and got illuminated with that sevenfold light and came out of there. And they didn't all have the same gift Jesus had, but they had the light of whatever their gift was. They'd been in the holy place with God. They had something to give people for today, for this day, salvation, what's needed for right now. Jesus has given us what we need right now, but when you get it direct, it's going to have more impact. It's going to have more power. And there was a ministry back there that lived and operated in that holy place and received that unleavened bread. Brother, they was able to cull it down. They received bread that had no leaven, no falsehood. They understood it from the front to the back and from the back to the front. They clearly knew the plan of God and could reveal it to the people of God. Hallelujah. My Lord, I think today sometimes that what I've heard from the men of God, and I used to travel with Brother Leninger, he used to keep my mind so the cogitations of my mind nearly made me mad. I'd listen to this man, I'd think, this man is like a walking Bible. I love to go with Brother Leninger. And he used to tell me, he said, I'd like for you to go with me because you stir up my mind, Brother Smith, because I wouldn't let him rest. My mind was going and his mind, I'd get this little wheel, get that big wheel turning. Man, I've got things from him. Sometimes I'd just go to sleep and I'd think, I wish I knew what he said. I ain't got a clue what he said. But some of it stuck. He told me the last night that he died. He said, Brother Smith, I know there's men like you that's got the things that I gave them. He said, you got it. I thought when he said that, I thought, I ain't got it all. I ain't got it like I want to get it. But I'm going to tell you something. After he died, I felt something start working in me that I never had to happen in my ministry. Some of his mantle touched me. I don't care what anybody says. I know that I didn't have what I've got today until when Brother Liniger died, there's something that passed from him that touched my life. And it's not to make me great, it's to help the people of God. Well, yeah. Well, but I just gave him a smidgen, he gave me the whole bucket load. So that's how I felt about it. It all belongs to God, and so. But my Lord, saints, there's things coming, let me tell you. The other third, there's a third down here. I hope y'all are getting what I'm saying about the third. I've never heard nobody say anything on these thirds since I've been here, but I know God gave me that. And I know that the third part, that was a third of the place that the judgment seat of Christ was set up, and eternal judgment was passed. And you could get eternally judged worthy of life or of death. Look at this scripture in 2 Corinthians. Let me give you a scripture right here. Second Corinthians, the second chapter, in the 14th verse. Paul's telling the church there. He said, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us." See, he's making manifest, he's revealing by us the savor of his knowledge in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor unto Christ, our sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, to the other a savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? You see, he was saying, look, this word that God gave us, it's a manifestation or a revelation of God's knowledge of Christ that's working in us in every place to triumph. And it's bringing eternal death. Death unto death. Some people are dead in sin and they're going to be dead in judgment when this message hits them. And others are alive unto God and they're going to be made eternally alive unto God when this message hits their life. It's going to bring eternal judgment to everybody that it's revealed to. Everybody. And that whole world heard it. That whole world had it manifested to them. Their words went out into all the world, that known world. That manifestation of that church, that ministry, manifested to that world. And if you didn't regard that and heed to that and humble yourself and fall down before that, it would eternally judge you unworthy of life. That's how a third part of the trees burned up. And all the flesh burned up. God judged that world back there. Everything in the sea burned up. It'll happen again down here. Two-thirds of heaven will be made up. Then the thousand-year millennial reign, another third. The finality of heaven will be meted out. God is making up his kingdom. He's going to finish an eternal kingdom. I think he's called me and you to it. My God, it's just hard for me to fathom that God said you can be, you can go. Hallelujah. I don't care if I got here when it's maybe a rough shot operation. I had a vision. I had a dream with me and Brother Liniger in 1981. How long ago is that? 19 and 14 years is 33 years ago. That I had a dream. Brother Liniger was, an angel. A third heaven angel had me by the arm. It seemed like chaos. It seemed like urgency. And this angel had me by the arm. We were in a hospital, and this angel was, he was right on my right hand, and he was had me by the arm, and I had on a doctor's coat. And we was walking through this hospital corridor. We walked way down this hospital corridor, and then we went in this room. And this room had people wounded everywhere. They were laying all over the floor, sitting in chairs. They was everywhere, wounded people. And we walked through, had to step over some of them, and through that room and opened another door. An angel opened that door, and we went in another corridor. And we walked down that room, just a little, that corridor just a little ways, and we walked in this room. He opened the door, and we walked in. And there was a big oak desk standing out in the middle of the floor. And there was men. All in this room was all men. And every one of them had a hand injury. Every single one of them had their hands all wrapped up and they were injured. And there was a man standing over a big white deal where you're looking at x-rays. Y'all seen them in hospitals, haven't you? Where they stick them x-rays up over them white lights. There was a doctor with a doctor's coat standing there. And he turned around and looked at me and that angel, and it was Brother Ray Liniger. And that angel said, "This is your assignment." And he turned around and walked out of the room. And I looked on that big oak desk. I was a physician's assistant in the Army, and we just didn't operate off of oak, off a desk. I mean, it was a, I thought to myself, this is a slipshod operation, what we got going on here. There was a stack of patient files sitting on that desk. And I picked up the first one, and I called a man's name. And he walked over there, and he had his hand all wrapped up, his right hand. And when he walked over there, Brother Langer walked over, and he got a hold of that hand and started unwrapping it. And no, I was unwrapping it. Brother Liniger came over. This man had that finger right there cut off. And I was trying to be careful. And he said, "You don't have to be careful. That's been cut off for 7 years. And anyway, he unwrapped that. And when he did, Brother Liniger took a hold of that hand. He opened it. He reached down that desk, pulled out a drawer, and reached in and got some medical utensils and started working on that finger. And I was watching him, and I thought, this, I ain't never seen a medical operation like this. This is rough shod out here in the middle of the floor and a desk. But the guy seems like he knows what he's doing. Anyway, he worked on that a little while, and he said, "Wrap that up and tell him when to be back." And he went back to his x-rays, and I went back to wrapping that up, and I told the guy when to come back, and then I picked up the deal and called the other one. That guy came, and his hand was cut almost completely off, just dangling. It was wrapped up. When I unwrapped it, it was almost severed from the thumb. And Brother Liniger started working. He came back over there and started working on that. And when he got done working on that, he said, "Wrap that up and tell him and give him the instructions." And when he did, Brother Liniger walked off and disappeared. He was no more. And I stood there wrapping that up and telling that man what to do. Which I think God was showing the prophet has to be restored to this body, and then the apostle, you know, the thumb, has to be restored. That was, you know, those, all those men were wounded men. Anyway, I don't know how come he get started telling that, but anyway, I've just, the reason I told it is because I know God's showing us. He's shown me that God's had to work with less than perfect situations, but he's that tender. He's that gentle. He's that purposeful. He understands you and I and what is in our lives and what he has to work with and how he has to work with us. He understands what we're capable of and what we're not capable of, and he's patient enough. He has long patience. The husbandman has long patience for the precious fruit of the early and latter rain. Our early rain was the message of Paul the apostle, and that's of the Gentile house, and our latter rain is still yet to come. God is going to give us a latter rain that's going to bring forth a harvest. Hallelujah. Bless God. We're in something great, saints. Keep serving Him. Keep living for Him. Keep your life in favor before God. Let Him help you. Let Him bless your life. Don't get discouraged. Don't get offended or offended. Get out of this. Stay in it. Stay connected. Ask God to help you. When you get going through difficult times, say, God, help me get through this. Help me to do whatever I've got to do to get through this. But hold on to me. Don't let me go. Help me to hold on to You. Help me to hold on to the things You've gave me and stay in the place You've put me. And help me to live the life You're asking me to live. He'll help you. He'll come on the scene. He'll make a way for you. He'll bless your life. He'll lift you up. He'll out of the pit. And He'll give you strength. Hallelujah. There's strength in here. God will strengthen you. He'll help you. He'll give you what you need when you need it. Sometimes you might think you need it before He gives it to you. But He'll come just in time. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Maybe we can have a song before we go home here today. I don't know if one of you sisters got something, but oh, touch my eyes, Lord. Yeah, that's a song Brother Weiniger's feeling for us. Hallelujah.
Touch my eyes, Lord, that I might see, Lord, the wonders of Your love. Oh, touch my ears, Lord, that I might hear, Lord, the voice of the one of the joy I need. Keep me on my knees in a humble plea for a closer walk with Thee. Oh, touch my eyes, Lord, that I might see, Lord, the wonders of Your love. Touch my ears, Lord, that I might hear, Lord, oh, the voice of the Lord. Oh,
I don't know about band practice, 4 o'clock band practice, all right, and 5 o'clock service. We'll see you then. Come expecting. Let's see what God will do. Amen.